Blog Talk Radio.
Back to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, the soul in sports. I am your host, Mike Knox, and indeed I spell my name with three X's because like all this sporting news, all this NFL news, I am hardcore. Welcome to the show, the pros, icons, ayatollahs, and rock and rolls, and you, the million-dollar audience, listens to. You can find me on Twitter by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, frankly, if you're not making it get loud, that is on you, Mike Knox. I already told you how to spell it. Also, as follow the station, giving you the identification at 1340 AM Fox Sports on the Twitter, social media, Instagram, wherever social media is sold, which is absolutely free. And since you're following me, you're following the show, give me that identification, 1340 AM Fox Sports. Go ahead and follow the show you're listening to right now, Soul, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, Sports. But as always, people, first, the particulars. Number to call in is 347-637-3859, and I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it this way. Tiger Woods in contention? I don't care. I mean, I just don't care. Why should I be fooled by Tiger Woods? Not once, not twice, not two, not three, not four, but five times Tiger Woods been having a comeback. I'm supposed to care now? I'm sorry, I just don't care. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, Steph Curry goes out yesterday late. If you woke up this morning, you didn't know this, so you went to this work this afternoon, in the morning, late in the morning. Steph Curry got hurt last night. Ankle problems. They're starting to catch back up to him. He had these early in his career. Will they be detrimental to the Golden State Warriors? Also, trades in the NFL. I thought trades in the NFL was taboo. I didn't think people made trades in the NFL. First, my Philadelphia Eagles rob Seattle and get Michael Bennett to the Eagles for who? Receiver who? I'm sorry, did he even get a ring? Okay, then Talib gets traded to the Los Angeles Rams. What does that mean for them? Now the whole Legion of Boom is all gone. Oh, those are some great sound bites, wasn't they, fellas? But as always, welcome to the show, the pros listen to you, tune into the Barbershop at Barbershop Talk Meets Radio. And as always, I'm not here by myself, I'm bringing to you my crew. And they know not to drink my apple juice, but not me, because I drink orange juice. What's going on, y'all? Mama, his mother, rather, calls him Micah, but you can follow him on Twitter at ME Richmond. What's going on, Micah?
Well, you know, the funny thing about what you just said is, I actually have my mama on location. She's going to get something to eat right now. But anyway, it's still me. It's still me. And Mike, you got another Mike on your team. Mr. I may have got harassed by police officers or not, depending on what I did in Las Vegas. Bennett. I like that. I mean, hey, I don't care what anybody said. They can say he's aging. They can say he's not as good as he used to be. When you got a guy like him that can disrupt stuff, that's a positive. Because that's all you need. Because didn't what was his name? You had a guy on your defensive lineman that opened up the hole for one Mr. Graham that disrupted Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Mr.
Long.
Sir.
Well, you know, when you can tear the offensive line up, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Also, welcome to the program live from the DMV. We know his black ass by the Hassam ID. No longer the king of Wakanda, but he's the prince around here on the Soul and Sports and at Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, folks? How's everybody doing?
I'm doing pretty good today on this Friday. It's nice here in Orlando. Nice and sunny. Things is going good. How about yourself?
Good out here, man. Everything. It's Friday, man. That's the most important thing. We made it through it. We made it to a Friday. You know what I mean? Monday starts off. You kind of, you know, it's a Monday. You make it a Friday. You're like, yeah, we here now.
That's for you 5 days a week working suckers like you two. Today was my Wednesday. Okay? So stop rubbing it in. Okay? Stop rubbing it in. Okay? You get to sleep when the time goes forward. I'll lose an hour of sleep. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now it's going to be 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's right. That is coming up this weekend. I forgot all about
that. I hate daylight savings time. I hate it to death. But, fellas, a lot to get into here in this Lock It Up Friday. Nothing really to lock up this sports weekend. Selection Sunday is going on. There is Duke versus North Carolina. Part 3 takes place tonight. But before we talk about all that, let's talk about what the world may be talking about. And that is Richard Sherman being released from the Seattle Seahawks. Well, we knew this was happening. We knew this was coming. We kind of had this feeling. If you go back and listen to the broadcast that we had on that Thursday night game or that Friday of that Thursday night game, we kind of all kind of felt that he was out of Seattle anyway. So this wasn't too big of a shock, but still nevertheless shocking with Jeremy Lane being gone and then Michael Bennett also being traded this week to my Philadelphia Eagles. Now talks about we know what happened with Earl Thomas as he went to the locker room during the Dallas game and asked to go there. A lot of things going on in the NFL right now. And one of the things I find funny out here is these millennials, right? We're not millennials. We're older than millennials, right? We you know, but Richard Sherman, the best corner of the era? Richard Sherman, the best player in Seattle history? One in the top five? Have y'all forgot about Ken Griffey Jr.? You forgot about what Ray Allen did to Seattle? You forgot about Gary Payton? You forgot about Ichiro Suzuki? Steve Largent? I like Richard Sherman a lot. Jay Chris isn't here, I'm sorry. I like Richard Sherman a lot there, Micah, but I mean, how do you feel about him being released? And big, more than that, where do you think he lands?
When you tore both ACLs, you know, Richard Sherman, I'm sad to say this. Actually, I'm not sad to say this because I always love dealing with people who are smug about what they did. Like, I still remember how he just eradicated Skip Baseless on first take. I was like, why did he just kill Skip Baseless for no reason? Like, he just murdered him verbally. Even said he was more accomplished than him. I was like, you haven't even lived past 25 yet. How are you more accomplished than a dude who's in his 80s? Anyway, because Skip Baseless is old. I think he's like 100. But anyway, that between Viagra and Botox, that dude was wonderful. I honestly, if it was my coach that picked him up, it would be an upgrade. But if he was going to like somewhere like L.A., it's a good addition. But I mean, are you really getting something productive? If he went to your Eagles, I'd rather have the guys you already got, who are younger, who are more reliable, who already isn't injured. So I think it really depends on what the situation is. I don't really see him ending up somewhere. Someone's going to pay for him. And someone's going to overpay for him. But honestly, in Seattle history of any kind of a Seattle athletic group, yeah, he's kind of overrated. I mean, he's literally a one-hit wonder, and he wouldn't even be.
I got to beg the difference with you on that.
He's a one-side corner.
It can appear to be that way, okay? And I won't argue that. That's fair, what you're saying. I won't debate that. I mean, you have those safeties over top of you. You can cheat a little bit. You can play a little different. But I know from corners past that has played one way, Most notably for me, when the Eagles picked up Nnamdi Asamoah, he was not all what we thought he was. But I also believe a lot to be said about playing one side of the ball. I don't think there's something wrong with that necessarily. Okay, I know what we want everybody to be Josh Norman and go all over the field and be the Deion Sanders DBs of football, but that's not the way they play their scheme. I think in the right scheme with someone who plays a cover three, he can be just as effective as he was in Seattle. Your thoughts when you hear what Micah's saying and even to talk to yourself and your own thoughts, Wally, where do you see he going? And Micah said, you know, he's about to be exposed and someone's going to overpay for him. Do you agree? Because I have HTTR fans out there that really, really want want him.
You got a lot of Redskins fans who want Sherman. It depends on the situation. I'm not going to say he's overrated to a certain extent, but he's a really good corner. Like, he's a really good corner. I'm interested to see how he's going to play next season. He's coming off an Achilles injury. He's still relatively young. He's 29. He's 29 years old. It's a guy that was blessed in a good situation. Now, like, I think we have to all acknowledge that you're playing with Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. These are two of the best safeties in football on your team. So you can make mistakes and they can erase things for you. And we saw what happened with Byron Maxwell, a guy who looked really good in Seattle as the number two cornerback. And then when he went elsewhere, he was a bum.
Like,
I mean, not to be mean.
Yeah, he was.
He was getting torched.
He's been traded more times than a Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah, if you saw him in Seattle, you would think that when he was in Seattle, he wasn't Richard Sherman, but he was really good. Like, he was a really good two guy. So I think to Micah's point, you know, wherever he goes, he's going to have to go to a situation where it's beneficial to him, because he's not a shutdown corner sense of, like, growing up watching Deion, Darryl Green, those guys were shutdown corners. He's not a shutdown corner.
I knew
corner.
You would get a Darryl Green reference in there when it came to this corner debate, course, which you mean, of
then,
course you would.
You know, Troy Vincent, like, these guys out there, too. There are, like, a lot of guys back in the day when I was younger. I looked at the shutdown corners. But in his situation, he's going to have to go to a place like, say, New England, that's going to schematically make him a fit. I mean, schematically be a good situation for him. I've heard the Niners are really maybe interested in him. You may hear Oakland, because Oakland is desperate for cornerback play. But he would scare me because he's coming off an Achilles injury. ACL injuries are easier to come back from if you're playing football, because nowadays surgery is easy. Surgery and whatnot kind of helps you get back to normal if you have an ACL injury. But an Achilles injury is always complicated or difficult to come back from, just because how much weight you're putting on that particular area. So him having that injury and also not being in a similar situation, to me, it's gonna be hard to overpay. So I think he'll probably sign a 1-2 year deal, probably with a team like New England. I think New England would be the best place for him.
See, that's where I was waiting for you to go there. Well, get finished, actually, because I was going to interrupt you and saying I don't think at all that New England or Dallas is any place that Richard Sherman is going to go. And here is why. Shout out to and rest in peace, the notorious B.I.G. 21 years ago, y'all, he was taken from us at a very young age. But when you look at Richard Sherman and all that we've learned to know about Richard Sherman, I can't see him playing in that structure of New England. And it's a lot of talk about New England, a lot of talk about Dallas, right? Dallas, can you see this man playing for Jerry Jones? And just we're talking about a locker room here that pretty much was kicked out of their city because of their political views and their strong stances. New England is not one of those teams that stood with Black America, for that matter. Also, Dallas, the same way. I don't see those teams being a fit for Richard Sherman. That one fit I keep hearing is the Atlanta Falcons. I don't want to hear that one, because I don't want him in that, you know, well, heck, even if it's San Francisco, so the NFC. But, excuse me.
That's a good fit.
I don't think New England and Dallas fits him very well, Wally.
No, Atlanta's a good fit because you have his former coach, a guy who helped coach him up that's in Atlanta. So that's a good fit, too. Atlanta's a good fit. I mean, Quinn's the coach over in Atlanta.
Dan Quinn.
Oh, that's a good fit. Yeah, I wouldn't be. I think that's another good fit. I just think that to me, if Richard Sherman terms it with his football intellect, because that he's a very intelligent football player,
yes, he is.
Schematics and whatnot.
Football wise, football.
New England,
he does fit there.
We're taking away like, you know, stances, political stances and whatnot, just in terms of what, in terms of football IQ, New England's the perfect fit for him. Well, he go, and then they typically get guys like him. Guys who are quasi veterans, guys that people are saying, you know what, we're not sure if he can kind of bounce back from. They sign that kind of player up and they ball for him. So in terms of, and he likes winning. He wants to win and be a champion.
Right. He said he wants to play for a contender.
New England is a team that, if you're looking at football, is a perfect fit. Now, will he go there? You have a valid point.
What makes New England a perfect fit? And King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter, our social media hit the star, said that even as a Cowboys fan, I can't see Richard Sherman being with the Cowboys because of the possible locker room clashes with Jerry Jones. So that eliminates, I'm with that one. But why, you know, why what you said about New England? How can I, you know, and then finding out that he's his own agent also.
Yeah, I'm talking about football side. Football wise, it's a good fit because you look at a similar cornerback they had in Tlaib years ago. Tlaib was a physical cornerback, played press coverage. Sherman plays press coverage. He presses up. He's very physical. You can zone off the other side of the field, which they typically do in this, and have Sherman play that one side. Sherman will probably play the number two wide receiver, and they will zone off that side. Well, he's accustomed. And so when he's going off the other side, when the number two cornerback will be probably doubling up on the number one wide receiver, which they typically do in New England.
After everything that happened with Butler, I just for me, I think this would go against every single thing
they tried
that
to
has
trade
been.
And get Tlaib. You get my point? Like, they tried to trade and get Tlaib, and Tlaib is worse than Butler. They tried to trade and get Tlaib, and Tlaib is worse than Butler. Tlaib is a problem, and they still try.
I believe so.
I'm not saying
as far as what's worse or nothing like that, because I think if you fall in line with that, the mentality of being a patriot, then you fall in line to be a patriot. It's one thing trading for someone. It's another thing when someone has the ability at this point in his career, being his own agent, to pick and choose where he will go. And just from what I've learned from Richard Sherman over the years, you know, the way that he speaks, and how pro-black he is, I just don't see him fitting in New England, especially with the Malcolm Butler situation that happened, where, you know, how he was told seconds before kickoff that he wasn't playing. Those players, from everything I hear, took that very serious and very much to heart. What do you say about that, Micah, as far as New England and the things that Wally said? He's making a lot of good points. I just see it the other way. What side of the spectrum do you lay?
I'm on the side of the spectrum of, are you paying me the money and are you a contender? It's very, very simple. We've seen guys who take stances this past NFL season. We saw guys who take stances this past NFL season last year who totally changed their tune when they got a little bit something more towards their way. One being Malcolm Jenkins. Just saying. So when he gets what he wants, when Rich Sherman gets what he wants, then I think that he will cooperate with what it means that he needs to do. So if he goes to New England, it's not far-fetched that he will go to New England and that he'll shut his mouth and that he will play Patriot-style football, which is the Patriots' way, which is you don't talk unless talked to. Or in some way, form, or fashion, you know, you follow that lead and you be that drone as a part of the system. There's nothing in my mind that says, okay, do I want a chance to be at a Super Bowl next year and to be used? Well, this team picked up a guy who was 39 years old who really doesn't really do anything, but yet for some odd reason he was effective enough that they, oh, well, I'm coming off an injury. They'll probably do the same for me, put me in a good position to win, and the chances are I'll be in the AFC Championship game, no problem. So I don't see it as a far-fetched thing where people who have their personal stances change their tune all the time, especially
when it comes to
the public eye. especially in the public eye. So, hey, we've seen, like for example, right, LeBron's ego, and just not to mix too much, but LeBron's ego is so huge that him joining Golden State will not happen because he wants his legacy to be so cemented that he doesn't want a small thing like that to tarnish it. Oh, he may get an extra 5 rings doing that way, but he don't want his legacy to be tarnished in any way, form, or fashion. So his ego is too huge to let that happen. Richard Sherman's ego is still big enough, it's still big enough that he'll bend to the will of Bill Belichick, and he'll still do all the stuff that he's been doing off the field, if he's been doing anything at all, which I heard he's been doing some actual things. I always love it when guys don't talk, they actually do something, because, you know, 1 million goes, 1 million goes five minutes. Several million in your time goes for days, years, and months. Days, months, and years. And it can actually impact generations, stuff like, you know, $1 million. But that's my opinion. You know where I'm going with that one.
Well, let's stay on football before you try to dive me into basketball. And anytime you bring up LeBron, it's very easy to want to talk about LeBron James after the copycat L.A. Lakers tried to call off the fan base of the Philadelphia 76ers and putting up billboards. Boy, you talk about being a copycat league around the NFL. Now fans are starting to copy, too, with billboards. But before we go there, and I got under Wally's skin a little bit there, Talib is traded to the Los Angeles Rams today. So what does this mean for the Rams? Does this mean they have the best defense now in football? They picked up Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator. They got Aaron Donald, one of the best defensive tackles. Some would say the best defensive tackle in football. Do this put them right back in the contention for being the best team in the NFC as a Super Bowl contender? And do you see them being the best team, Wally? Defensive team in football.
Yeah, defensively, I mean, you had Peters and Talib, and then you get Shields, who's a good slot corner, a good nickel corner, and then obviously you got Aaron Donald. You lost Ogletree, which is still going to hurt.
Man, right when I thought the Eagles was doing good, getting Bennett, he goes to the Giants. Give me a break.
Yeah, and then, you know, being their middle linebacker. So, I mean, there's some things that they have to – that there's some players that they lost. But in terms of secondary, I'm just going to go with the secondary. You have Joyner, Talib, and Peters. That should be the best secondary in football. It should
best
be.
Best secondary in
like
football?
It really should be. It should be.
Does the best secondary give them the best defense of football? Because I think the Philadelphia Eagles still have the best front seven in football, especially with the addition of Michael Bennett.
But you got Donald. The Rams still have a good pass rush. I mean, we'll see. It all has to play out. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I look at things.
We're looking at paper here. We're looking at Madden right now. Madden stats. Who's the most dominant Madden?
I'm gonna go with the Rams because if you're secondary and you got Aaron Donald, your secondary, your front seven makes your secondary better. Now your secondary is that much better to a point where your front seven doesn't even have to be dumb. It doesn't even have to be special. And it's special with Aaron Donald, don't get me wrong. But now that coincides. That goes hand in hand. We all know that, like, if you have a good secondary, right? If you have a good secondary, that makes your front seven better. And
it does.
Vice versa.
Well, your front seven can sit back. When your front seven's doing good, your secondary can, how they say it, pin your ears back.
They can jump routes. They can jump routes. Your secondary can jump routes. So, you got Aaron Donald. Like, for years, the Rams, their strength has been their front seven. Now you're matching that. They're matching their front seven with that secondary.
They're gonna lose Sammy Watkins. They're still trying to
work that out. You know, if they lose Sammy Watkins, that's a hit. I don't care what anybody tells them, that's a hit. But they're still gonna work. Losing Ogletree freed up money in their cap. So now rumor is that they're going to try to use that money to sign Sammy Watkins Jr.
Let me throw this cog in the space leash sprocket if we can. What if the Eagles pick up Richard Sherman?
That's a good fit too. I'm not going to take that away.
That would really be unbelievable.
That would be a good fit, too. That's a good fit, too, because you got Malcolm Jenkins, who's a good safety. My only thing is that the other safety would have to be, depending on how it is, how the other safety plays, it would be beneficial for Richard Sherman. The front seven, again, it was going to help out Richard Sherman because he doesn't have to be on the island or be out there as long because the Eagles, they get pressure pretty quickly.
What about the Redskins?
I don't think that's a good fit because of safety play. I think Richard Sherman needs to be in a situation where safety plays is a high level. I like DJ Swearinger, but he has holes. And at least unless they pick up, which is a rumor that it could happen, the Honey Badger.
I hear that as well.
I don't know if he,
I heard that as well.
Unless they pick up the honey badger.
Heard that this morning, actually.
Yeah.
From Ben Maller.
I'll say yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll say yes.
Did you hear the boos, though, from Micah? Because no one wants to go to Indianapolis. Did you hear the boos?
I didn't hear you people.
Hey, first of all, watch your mouth. It ain't got nothing to do with why my Colts continue to suck. That's a front office thing and an ownership thing. And the fact
that
they take care of the quarterback.
That's the owner too busy getting sauce.
They ain't worried about it. No. I just personally, I don't think y'all need Richard Sherman. And that's just me. I don't think that your Eagles need a guy like him in the locker room and need a guy like him
on
the field.
In the locker room.
They got Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett is one way, but I think it with the combination of Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman. Because I mean, first of all, let me clarify. I want to clarify. Do you consider Doug Peterson a player's coach?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Do you think that he's a player's coach that acknowledges that knows how to still keep a good number of his players kind of tight-lipped? Like, because, you know, there's players' coaches that
have
some
success. It's hard to say that for the first two years.
Sometimes
I can say yes. For the first 2 years, I can say yes. But no, I take that back because when they lost the game to Kansas City, the players came out very vocally in the public about the play calling. And he changed everything up, and that's what changed the season.
Well, that's fine, but my thing is when I talk about a player's coach mentality, let's just run down the list of players' coaches who had some success, even the Super Bowl.
We have Pete Carroll, Rex Ryan.
But do you consider him a Rex Ryan type? Do you consider Doug Peterson a Rex Ryan or Pete Carroll
Again,
type,
you're,
or do you think he's more buttoned up than
no? I can't answer that question, and it's too early in his career.
I'll be candid. If I had to between those two, if you're trying to make between those two, it'd be Pete Carroll. He's more a Pete Carroll kind of coach.
Then you don't need Richard Sherman in that kind of. If he has a Pete Carroll coaching style, you don't need Richard Sherman there.
I just threw it out there as Philadelphia Sports Radio jumped all over that as could it be possible? Because you know they're already dreaming when I wish upon a star on LeBron James coming there, which I don't think will happen for basketball purposes. I like to see it just for basketball reasons. I don't think it would fit very well with him and Simmons. So, but that's another conversation. But let me go here, guys, because we gotta be short today. I got a fire I have to put out. But let me go here real fast because I want to talk about this whole world's fascination with Tiger Woods. People have been fascinated with Tiger Woods forever. I've never been a Tiger fan. Like when I was a kid, I wasn't a Tyson fan, but I grew up and I was like, wow, Tyson was really good, right? I'm not saying Tiger wasn't good. I've just never been a Tiger fan. And I haven't been a fan because obvious reasons. I had a problem when he refused to talk about what nationality was. I had a problem with that. And that was me fresh out of Chicago before I became the, you know, quote unquote, as militant as I've become in my older age. But when I look at Tiger Woods making another comeback and it seems like everything Tiger Woods does, the world acts like he's Marvel Studios. Tiger Woods is not Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios, they may miss sometimes, but there's a lot of hits from Marvel Studios, including Black Panther being confirmed for Black Panther 2 as they reached close to $1 billion this weekend. But we already knew that was going to happen, right? But Tiger Woods, I don't care that he's in contention. I can unless Tiger Woods is winning the Masters, this is an effing factor to me. Wally, when I hear this Tiger Woods in contention crap, do you care? Am I wrong? Am I being a hater?
No, I don't care for Tiger Woods. I don't care for Tiger Woods, but I don't really care for him any which way. His run, I mean, it was cool. I mean, obviously, because when you see greatness at that particular time, you see it like, oh, Tiger Woods is winning.
Tiger Woods was on steroids.
Well, I mean,
I believe it.
I simply didn't care. I didn't watch any. I didn't care for any of the Masters or anything. I'm like you, though, to be honest with you. Like, my fandom of golf is pretty low. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
Secondly,
I watch NASCAR more than I watch golf.
Yeah. Secondly, to your point that, like, I feel like he didn't acknowledge being black. So I was like, so I kind of looked at him like,
you sucker.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan. I'm not really a big fan. Like, I don't have any anything negatively to say about Tiger Woods, but I wasn't a big fan of, like, him not acknowledging it or not, you know, pretty much being
right.
The guy or trying to take that mantle. So then it was what it was. So, but also on the competitive side, I don't care if a dude is close, like, or in contention to win a BS championship that's not even a match.
Right.
I don't care. That's not even a major. Excuse me. Oh, I don't care for that. So anytime they mention like Tiger Woods in contention,
but Tiger
hasn't
won in 5 years on the tour.
Like, if
but Tiger hasn't won.
Make it a story if he wins. Like that.
Make it
a story
come Sunday when I'm watching Selection Sunday. I'm getting ready to watch Fast Lane, and all of a sudden I see the red shirt out, and he's in first place with two strokes, you know, with two holes to go. Then it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
Then
I still wouldn't give a damn. Micah, real fast, your thoughts, man. Are you a Tiger fan? And do you care that he's in contention?
Man, y'all sound like guys who hate on Roman Reigns just to be hating on Roman Reigns. Just saying. I mean, god dang. I like the way the guy was booked, but man, I give him some credit. Beach. But no, I am a fan of Tiger.
We said we respect greatness.
I'm just messing with you. Yeah, I respect his greatness. I respect his greatness and things like that. And I didn't really care positively or negatively when he made his two-car belation or whatever kind of stupid things that he wanted to come up with. You know, there's people that deny their blackness all the time until it's convenient for them to be black, like Jesse Williams. So, I mean, I don't worry about things like that.
Hey,
I would debate him in his face. Anyway, you like put it in perspective. Y'all, I mean, y'all understand. It's kind of like the nostalgia thing, man. People wanted to see him dominate because they never seen a guy come in and tear things up like they have. And people are just thirsty. They're thirsty like their DMs are dry. The reason why contention matters a lot to these people, it doesn't matter to me. All three of us are in one accord. It doesn't really matter. If he wins, great. And if he wins a major, even better. But the fact that he actually is showing progression and contention, he doesn't look like an old man. You know, when he's swinging, he looks like he's playing with confidence. He looks like he's playing with that tiger ferocity that some people are feeling and seeing again. That's what they wanted. They wanted the aura of Tiger Woods to come back. So him being in contention, even at a BS event, is actually something big for a lot of these fans that just wanted to see greatness come back again. So, you know, I understand. I think it's dumb, but at least I understand. I think all three of us understand people's react to this, but all three of us also understand it's just a minor tournament. Holler at me in Augusta.
Holler at me in Augusta. 347-637-3859. I'll be the number to call in on Monday. Excuse me! The one, the only, Mrs. Vicky Guerrero will be calling into the program this Monday, 5:30. She will be calling in. We're going to talk to her about the late, great Eddie Guerrero, WrestleMania, what she got going on in her life. I heard she has a book out. My man Dice Man said he wants to ask her out on the date. I'm not sure if that would be appropriate, but all that and dim sum is coming this weekend on Monday's show, guys. Listen, we're going to halt the show right here a little early. I got a very important thing. Something just came up I have to take care of, guys. So thank you guys for being on. Sorry for the short notice, guys. Go back and listen to the podcast. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever podcasts are sold, which are absolutely free. Go bang some Biggie Smalls in your car, because today we're celebrating. We're not being mourning. We're not mourning. We're not being sad. We're celebrating the life of the notorious P.I.G. See you on Monday, y'all. Peace.